You want your 30-minute classics? Not me. Big meaty man slapping meat.
Kicking off the heat, yeah, it's time to go. Slapping me, wrestling, stealing the show. Tuesdays, Fridays, we bring it on air. Step into the ring if you're ready to care.
What is up, everybody? It is your boy, We Too Deep, and we are back with another episode of the Slapping Meat Community Show. This is episode 313 here on the podcast, and we're going to jump on in. We're going to cover a couple subjects, really just one main subject in the world of wrestling, and then we'll cover... some football-related news, recap week two, talk about my deep five, my top teams of week two, and do some predictions for week three. And the most fun part of this is to discuss the questions that were asked in the Discord and being able to address those topics. But I want to spend some time before we get to that. I'm going to be honest with you. All of that has felt so, you know, of second importance over the last 5 days. And everyone who listens to me knows that I value a couple things in my personal life. Like I feel like I've been able to be real with the audience here on this show, and that my worldview does come out when discussing certain topics, right? And I've addressed things on here that weren't necessarily political in nature, you know, talking about, you know, female wrestlers jumping over to, you know, over to OnlyFans, and how I'm against that being seen as okay, right? And I've addressed certain things that from my world of view could seem, and, you know, back in, what, 2023 it was, I was practically canceled on wrestling TikTok for stating an opinion from my worldview on certain issues. And so you guys know I'm not afraid of that. Like, I value, one of my number one things that I value is the idea of free speech. And something that I've always believed in is the free exchange of ideas. I don't have to agree with you. You don't have to agree with me. But we both have the ability to say what we believe in and to explain and have a discussion and actually get to the heart of what we believe in, and debate, and all of that is required of a healthy civil society. Because when you stop that, and you either silence voices that don't agree with you, or you just don't talk at all, you're not willing to have those other conversations, that is when society becomes dangerous and violent. And what we saw this week on last Wednesday, this past week on Wednesday, was not just an attack on an individual. It was an attack on free speech. Much more than it was attack on a lot of it was an attack on a lot of things. And so we're going to take a large portion of this show, I'm going to be honest with you, to talk about just that. And for me to put it out there, I feel I would be remiss as a podcaster to not mention this. As someone who claims to be pro-free speech, to... you know, talk about this. Like, if I didn't talk about this, I feel I wouldn't be doing the audience justice. And so we are going to talk about what happened to Charlie Kirk on Wednesday. I have questioned whether or not I should even do an episode this week. I don't think she'll be mad at me, but Kara did message me and was like, hey, you know, if you want, it'll be okay. You know, her tone of her message was like, hey, if you needed to take a break, a week off for you to come to grips with what happened and for the audience to come to grip with what happened, it's okay if you need a week off. And my response essentially to her was, no, I'm pressing on. And I'm pressing on, and I'm going to go into why I'm pressing on. And I'm going to, I'm going to say this. I typically... I'm already pretty vocal. But y'all woke something up inside of me. I'm just going to be honest with you. This right here woke something up on... I don't care about anybody's feelings to my opinions. I want to have debate. I'm not going to be the type of person that's, hey, we got to get them back. They got one of ours. We got to get one of theirs. That's not my mindset. And I will condemn any person on my political side of the aisle who says, hey, the left got one of ours, we got to go get one of theirs. If you say that, you're no better than the person who pulled the trigger that fired the gun that killed Charlie Kirk. You don't have to agree with everything Charlie Kirk believes in. I know I didn't. But let me tell you why I'm speaking on this. One, we're going to turn this into a wrestling... we're going to wrap this around into wrestling, right? Because it does fit here. But here's why I'm talking about this, and here's why I'm being vocal about this, and here's why this political assassination, because that's what it was, we got to call it what it was, this political assassination, why it hit me so hard that I didn't sleep for 2 days. Or if I did fall asleep, it wasn't very good sleep. That emotionally over the last 5 days, I've been all over the place. Right? That here's why it hit me so hard. The things that the person who pulled the trigger hated about Charlie Kirk. The things that Charlie Kirk, because he was very moderate. Let's just be very honest. On the political spectrum, he definitely wasn't a leftist. But when it came to those on the conservative aisle, on that spectrum of conservatism, he was definitely closer to the middle than what you're about to get that will take his place. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Right? But he was definitely one of the very few on the conservative right that was willing to meet you in the middle where you are, have a conversation with you, try to change your opinion, but then respect you enough to understand that you may not you get the ability to have your own opinion. And he didn't hate you for it. And that one, the one that was willing to actually have that dialogue and have that conversation, is the one you took out. And as a response, you're going to get people. I've already seen things like Alex Jones saying he's going to start doing college tours like Charlie did. You don't want that. Milo Yiannopoulos is saying he's coming out of retirement. You don't want that because they don't. They are not as and I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna say Charlie was tolerant, but of certain people. But he tolerated the left a lot more than what an Alex Jones will. Like Alex Jones on a college campus is a scary thought. I'm just gonna be honest with you, right? You're now gonna get, you know, Nick Fuentes as the leader of the right, right? And I don't think people, you know, I don't think the left and this individual who did this thought about the ramifications of doing this, right? From a strategic standpoint, if we're talking about strategy, what the left just did and what the left is continuing to do by not demonizing this act, by pushing it off. You know, I've seen people say, well, it's because Charlie was so divisive. Charlie was this. Charlie was a racist. Charlie was a Nazi. Charlie was a fascist. And by continuing to stoke those flames, you're not going to like what you get in return. Now, I don't agree with the Nick Fuentes and the Alex Joneses taking this mantle. I don't think it should be them. I don't think they're the ones that should be leading this type of movement. But that's what you're going to get when you take out the guy who was more acceptable of differing opinions. Right? So that's not even where I want to talk. What I want to talk about, though, when it comes to this, what I really want to talk about is, and why I'm talking about it is, I know I've dragged this along, is, and I mentioned, you know, Charlie was a moderate. And the very ideologies that Charlie Kirk believed in, the common sense things that Charlie Kirk believed in, there are only two biological genders, that marriage should be between male and female, as designed by Creator and as affirmed by nature and how children are made, that sex should wait until after marriage, that citizens of the United States have rights given to them by God, and that government should be small, and that government's job was to protect the righteous and to avenge evil, and that the rest, and that they shouldn't be, that government shouldn't be a social welfare system, but that should be the job of other people, other organizations, more importantly, his belief and my belief as well, that the local religious church, the Christian church should be what takes care of the poor and the widow. That's not the government's job. Those beliefs, these common sense beliefs of life, or more so, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, but put more, put better, family, faith, and freedom, that those common sense beliefs, I may not agree fully on things that Charlie Kirk individually on individual topics, right? But my worldview is the same as his. So why did it hit me so hard? And why do I fight back against people who mock at this? Because this is where it's at. This is the line that was drawn. If you have that mindset, if you have that worldview, they didn't just kill Charlie. That was a warning. That was a political warning from the far left. If you believe like him, you either shut up or we're going to make you. So while Charlie Kirk has a big name and that's why this is national news, next week it could be me. And that's why this affected me the way that it did. That's why now we're going to turn this into wrestling. That's why when someone like Ava comes in and posts what she posted on her Instagram story, essentially, and then doubles down on it and says, well, essentially he got what he deserved. And when I see the IWC light up X and social media saying he got what he deserved, it irritates me. And it irritates me for one reason, and one reason alone. That could be me. But it also irritates me, really, for another reason. That man that you took out, that you think, that you were so desensitized against, that's the enemy. He's the Nazi, right? And they use this language. They've used this language for a decade or more about conservatives. They're racist. They're Nazis. They're homophobes. They're transphobes. They're fascists. They use this language to do one thing. They're the worst people in the world. Now, what do you do with Nazis? You eliminate them, and rightly so. You shame them, you eliminate them, and by all means, you get them out of society, and rightly so. But what happens when words lose their meaning, and the moderate, calm demeanor just want to have a conversation that you called a Nazi and a fascist, well, the people who believe that, now they got to take that guy out. And it leads to political violence. This is much more on the Democratic establishment than it is on the guy who was just brainwashed by this said establishment. I'm not trying to hide over or roll over what the shooter did, and there's a reason I'm not naming the shooter. And I wish all news media and people who reported on this stopped using his name, because that's what he wants. While he's sitting in a jail cell right now, waiting to be formally charged before tomorrow, when he gets his first hearing before the court, he's basking in this glory, and he's also not cooperating with the FBI at all. Which could probably bring him other charges as well. But these people who do this, they want the fame, they want the recognition. I'm refusing to give his name any airtime. I'm not going to make a martyr out of him. I'm not. He doesn't deserve it. The act he did was evil. It was demonic. It was wicked. And so that's why I'm talking about this. First off, this is why I like the community show aspect. I can talk about things like this now. And I'm going to talk a lot more about this, and especially as topics come up. You know, this is first and foremost a wrestling and football show. But we're going to talk about things in the culture like this. Right? And so When you get the IWC up, to bring it back on track where I was going, right? You have the IWC and you have wrestlers and you have, you know, just these people who watch wrestling and who are part of the community that known as the IWC, and I can't unite with that and condone this type of action. This was blatant evil. And what we have right now, and what I think this is going to, if we look culturally at what is happening, right? First off, I believe the battle that we see here is not necessarily a physical battle. I believe this is a battle of two things. First off, a battle of ideas. This is a battle between conservatism, which, by definition, to conserve something, right? What are we conserving? What are conservatives trying to conserve? Family values, law and order. You know, we have rules in this country. You either obey them or you are disciplined for them, and that's what we're lacking. And we're going to get to what I believe the solution to this is. right, here in a minute. But we're trying to conserve law and order, family values, the idea of America that was founded by our founders, that all men are created equal, with certain unalienable rights. Unalienable just means that they are not given to you by government, that God gave these rights to you, and among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And what we're seeing, so that's the one side of this war, and the other side is leftism, or really what it really is Marxism. It's a ideology that spans back into the 1800s. And says that there are two classes of people. You have oppressed and you have oppressor. And it's all about power. And Marxism lines up at the same time as Darwinism. So Karl Marx and Charles Darwin were contemporaries. Their ideas came about at the same time, with Marx being more of the economic theory, that there is oppressed and oppressor in that way. And it's all about power. And then you had Darwin come out with the theory of evolution, which basically teaches the fittest survive, survival of the fittest. And therefore, the oppressors oppress because they're fit. And in order to take that back, you have to, right? And so you have this anti-God, anti-freedom movement, led by the idea that there is no inherent value in human beings, that we all are just part of a cosmic explosion. We have no true value as humans. We have no true value. We're just mammals walking that are at the top of the food chain. We just evolved to the top of the food chain. And because there's no value put in us by God, there's no value in human life. And so if I'm more fit than you and I'm able to overtake you, I should, because that's the survival of the fittest. And so you get this Marxist, evolutionist, Darwinist, all of it put together. And you get this ideology, and you get that seen through Stalin and Lenin and communist, the USSR and Castro and Cuba and Mao and China. It's kind of the same political structure as Nazi Germany. They were, of course, the nationalist socialist party of Germany. The political spectrum we're taught in school of is wrong, where, you know, the political spectrum you're taught in school of fascist on one side being far right and communist on the other side being far left is kind of wrong. That was sort of filled up. Both of those parties are totalitarian, and they're both leftist ideas, right? And because the true political spectrum is the farther left you are, the more you want government in control of people's lives, and the farther right you are, the more you want the people, the individual, in control of their own life, right? So technically, the farthest right you can be is what is known as an anarcho-capitalist, which means there's no government. 100% individual government, self-government. That society doesn't actually work. I used to be an anarcho-capitalist. I don't think anarcho-capitalism is essentially utopia, and utopias don't exist on either side. I have a religious opinion about that. That what we all want as human beings is utopia. Is because we're striving to get back to the paradise that human beings were created in, it, which is the Garden of Eden. And we're striving to get back to that perfection, right? And in my worldview, the Christian worldview, will say, well, we can't, because we have this thing known as depravity, as sin, that's blocking us, that we rebelled against God, and the only way back to that is through him, is through Christianity and Christ, and through his substitutionary atonement. I'm gonna preach a little bit on this episode. I have to explain the battle and the war that's going on, right? And so that's the one side here, that the conservative side of the battle is trying to protect faith, family, and freedom. And what we're battling against, it's not just right versus left. Truly, it's not what it is. This is a battle of ideas. Faith, family, freedom on the right, and we're going against this system that sees no value in humanity, right? My worldview says that every human being born, or at conception, every human being has value given to it, not because it's a human, but because it's in the image of God, right? Not because it's just a bunch of cells put together, but because at conception, the very imagination of God took place, and in the image of God, and we have value because we were created in the image of God, which is why dogs and cats and horses and cows and animals and lions, when I look at a lion killing a zebra, there's no inherent value there. That's the law of the jungle. That's what evolution says human beings are a part of, but we're not, because we know. And we know this because when we look at something like what happened to Charlie Kirk, or what happened here in my hometown of Charlotte, North Carolina, to Irina Zarutska, where she was brutally murdered, and we look at something like that and we're disgusted by it. You don't have to be Christian to be disgusted by it. You just have to have the understanding, right? And we all understand that there's inherent value in human beings, and that's why we protect them. But what has happened in our culture through evolution and through Darwinism and through Marxism is we've removed the value of human beings. We've removed in the mind of culture that there is inherent value because we are made in the image of God. And by doing that, that makes it easier to kill them. If you're not worth anything, if you're just cells that came together for no purpose, then it doesn't matter. And if that's the case, why do we punish murderers? Why do we want justice when injustice happens? Because we understand that something's inherently wrong. But here's what happens. This battle happens. That's the number one priority war that we have right now, right? It's a battle between, which gets to part number two. This is a spiritual battle. Some will say it's good versus evil. I think it's God versus the devil or Satan or whatever. And there's a spiritual battle. Here's the news. I already know the winner. The book's already been written. The story's already been written. My God wins. Here's what's funny. This isn't new in our culture and this is why I call this a political and a religious assassination, is that the guy who shot him did this for political and religious reasons. And it's religious because Charlie Kirk's worldview, just like mine, isn't fully political. What I mean by that is Charlie Kirk wasn't Christian because he was a conservative. His conservatism didn't influence his Christianity. Same with me. His Christianity, his faith in Christianity, is what influenced him to be a conservative. Same with me. Which is why I said what I said earlier. The attack on him is an attack on me. Which is why I believe this is spiritual. This is a battle between evil and good. And so there's a line to be drawn there. There is no more time to be neutral. There's a line that is drawn now. You either are on the side of good that calls out evil regardless of cost. It's going to cost you friends. It's going to cost you listeners if you have a big podcast. It's going to cost you followers. It's going to cost you friends. It may cost you family. This is why in the Bible, in the Gospels, when Jesus is calling his disciples and he's saying, follow me along the way, he says, father and mother are going to turn against you. It's going to create strife between brother and brother and sister and brother and mother and father and husband and wife. It could cost you your family. He says, pick up your cross. I need you to understand that context real quick. Jesus was essentially saying, in our culture, pick up your injection. Pick up that lethal injection. Right? He's saying, understand this. Understand this, that pick up your cross. This was the Jews were never crucified. Unless they were zealots who tried to do an insurrection on Rome, then they would. But the Jews themselves never practiced crucifixion. In fact, in the time of Jesus, they weren't legally allowed by Rome to do capital punishment. Their capital punishment was stoning, you know, stoning people to death. But they weren't legally allowed by Rome to do it. The only person, the only entity that could do capital punishment was the Roman government, which is why in the way the Bible takes place is because the Jews knew they couldn't do capital punishment, so they had to send them in front of Pilate, which was the representative of Rome in Judea, right? And they had to get him to do it. They had to get him to do it. And so when Jesus says, take up your cross, to his followers, what he's saying is he's speaking to a people, you're going to die. For in fact, he predicted this. He told his disciples, all of you will... He used the strong language. He uses really strong language. He said, I'm your master. You are my slave. Now understand, the slavery being talked about here is not chattel slavery. It's not the slavery, the transatlantic slavery at all. I don't want people to come at me and say, oh, you're condoning slavery. That's not what I'm doing here, right? It's not what I'm doing at all. But what Jesus was saying is, I'm your master. And they hate me. He says, and then he says this, no slave is treated better than his master. So if they're going to crucify me, what do you think they're going to do to you? This is what the American church, this is what the American church is missing in its preaching. Because a lot of people come to Christianity and they come to be blessed. They see Joel Osteen and they say, ah, he's promising me money, cars, wealth, and health. And then when it doesn't come, they leave. Because God must not like me enough. No, understand, and this is what I want to tell all these people. Be prepared to die for this. Right? That's what I want to tell all these new people that are like, hey, because of what happened to Charlie, I feel this pull to come to church. Please come. Please come. If you need someone to talk to about this, I will be more than happy to have this conversation. Be more than happy to have it. On what the Christian life of guys, and I'm not perfect at it, trust me. I fail a lot. And that's the point. And if you're feeling this pull, the first thing I would say is don't ignore it. If you're feeling this pull to go to church first off, you don't have to be saved. You don't have to commit your life to Christ in a church. You could do it right now as you're listening to this podcast. If you want to DM me, you want to comment on the YouTube video. I don't check Spotify comments. Because I don't really check those, so I'll just be honest with you there. But DM me. you know, you could find me on X. At I don't even know my username, so let me find this real quick. You can find me on X at official underscore it's RB. That's OFFICIAL underscore ITSRB. That's me. You can DM me there. My DMs are open. If you want to have this conversation, I'll be more than happy to have it. But this is important. Culturally, this is important. And I wanted to make this podcast episode strictly to say, I'm not going to shut up. Because I'm going to get what I signed up for. I knew the risk when I said, Lord, you are Lord. Jesus, you are my King. You're my master. The Greek word is doulos. It's often translated servant. It's a bad translation. Slave is the best translation. I'm your slave. Most say bond servant because slavery back in Roman days were you owe a debt, you work off that debt, and then you're free. And slavery, and for people who want to say things like, oh, well, the Old Testament condoned slavery. No, it didn't. Most of the time, it was this bond servant where you owed a debt, you paid off the debt. And the maximum amount of time someone could be a slave to or a bond servant to a Jew in Judaism was 7 years. After 7 years, you had to release that servant. Right? And so, again, if you want to, this is very important to me. More than the wrestling, more than football, and we're going to talk about those things, right? But culturally, there's a line drawn in the sand because of this singular event. You're either on the side of evil, and you're going to condone political violence, no matter what side of, because this isn't political. Like I said, it's evil and good. It's not left and right. It's evil versus good. So you're either on the side of evil, and you're going to condone political violence, and you're going to condone a 31-year-old man being assassinated in front of his wife and his daughter. I don't know how you can sit here and read or hear this detail, that Charlie Kirk's daughter heard the gun sound and ran toward him because she was scared of the sound. I don't know how you hear that and it doesn't rip your heart out. That a 31-year-old man gets assassinated for having different opinions. And both his children, who are under 5 years old, who have zero remembrance of their father in their life, now have no dad. And a woman who now has to take care of both of those children without a dad and without a husband and carry on his legacy and is grieving unimaginable grief that I don't even know how to put into words. I don't know how to put it into words. And to have the IWC, this is how I know I can't tolerate these people. I can't tolerate this anymore. I can't unite. You know, there's going to be calls from Democrats. We have to unite. We have to stop political violence. And I can't unite with people who want me dead, who don't see me as human, who cheer for the death of an innocent person. You can't unite with that. You can't tolerate that. There's only one way right? And I'm not arguing that the right should fight back with worldly means. I think there's an easier way. I said the battle is spiritual. There's spiritual weapons that I think we could fight with that goes off in a whole different conversation. But here's what I think the ultimate solution is. Criminals feel that they are allowed to do whatever they want to do because we've become super soft on crime in this country. And I promise you, We used to, in this country, if you committed a crime, once your due process and your fair trial was done, if you were sentenced to death, you were executed. And that's what should happen in this case. It's what should happen to the man who killed Irina Zarutska. It should be public. It should be in the streets. It should be somber. It should be a reminder to everyone who thinks that they can do crime that that's not acceptable in civilized society. And to anyone who thinks that it is, there should be some sort of restitution for that as well. We used to have in our in the justice system in ancient times, it used to be, hey, you stole something from me. You paid me back the price of the property you stole. That's restitution. And then you got flogged. That'll teach you your lesson. Right? Publicly. We used to put people in stocks. And before we came over to America, right? In the Enlightenment period, criminals would be put in stocks in public and mocked and shamed. I think that's what we need to start doing again. No more mass incarceration. That doesn't do nothing. Just punishment is either you're a repeat criminal, you're a menace to society, so we're going to remove you from society permanently, either by execution or exile. Or you pay a restitution and you take 20 lashes. And we send you off on your way, and you never commit crime again. Because if you continue to be a menace to society, you get removed from society, right? And we have punishments. That is how crime goes down. That is just. That is fair. That protects the society from menaces to society, but it also protects the criminals from mob justice. Because I'm going to tell you what happens. If justice doesn't get served here, vigilantes will do something. And you don't want vigilante justice. It's not going to be pretty. You don't want that. But with that being said, now that I've taken 41 minutes, almost 42 minutes, to dull the mood down and be real serious with this, it's the most important 41 minutes I've ever done on this show. Now we're going to talk about the bread and circuses. Now we're going to talk about the bread and circuses, the wrestling and the football. There's really only one topic that I want to talk about when it comes to going in the ropes, the wrestling related, I can't speak, I guess, the wrestling related topics, and that's the big news that was announced last Friday, that WrestleMania 43 officially will be going to Saudi Arabia, which I got two reactions. The first is, I may have to slow down my prediction on Sami Zayn winning the world championship at this year's WrestleMania in Vegas. Me and Kara are having this conversation, this talk, and I think we both agree that's going to be CM Punk. And I think that's then going to lead to Mania 43 in Saudi to Sami Zayn win, and then they're going to long burn this. And that's what's going to happen. My second response is, I hope it's worth it to him. I'm not watching this event. First off, it's going to be in the middle of the day. I'm not watching this. Just on principle. This sort of correlates with other news I really didn't really think was important, but on a business call, Ari Emanuel basically said Vince was pricing for families and that's why he didn't make as much money as he possibly could. and almost sounded like prices for tickets may be going up some more. Look, I'm done with this. This is clear and evident examples of just straight up greed. This is just greedy at this point. And I've already canceled Netflix. I've already canceled Peacock. I'm not buying ESPN. As much as I really want to watch Stephanie Vaquer this weekend at WrestlePalooza, I'm not going to. I'm not going to pay that. I'm just not going to. I hope her all the best. It's also on principle, the product is, you know, I've already said this, it's bad. I'm not watching WrestleMania 43. I'm just not. I have no interest in it. I have no interest in watching a show that's 100% catered to Saudi Arabia and what craziness they want to happen. I just don't care. I just don't care enough to support this, just on principle. And that's the wrestling news. Like, there's not a lot of news going on with wrestling. I'll say one final thing. AAA had Worlds Collide. I thought it was a fun show. Was definitely the worst of the AAA shows that I watched. One, it was late start here. 10 p.m. Eastern time on Friday. It's a late start for a three-hour show, it felt like. Decent show, wasn't bad. But it definitely wasn't something that hit my it didn't like tingle the senses like this was a great show like the other AAA events have had. Dom being double champion is interesting. I do enjoy that. We'll see how that where that leads. I think what if they did this smart, this could lead and should lead to Alberto Del Rio challenging Dominic. And being the ultimate babyface, right? I don't think that'll happen, but that's what I would try to do. That's what I kind of hope happens. And then last, we're gonna go fourth and deep here, for this segment. So we'll talk about football. There's a little bit to talk about with football now because NXT is running Homecoming on Tuesday night. I want to watch that live. It's going to be a fun little nostalgia show, which I'm not the biggest on nostalgia booking, but this is fine. It's I understand why they do it. I like this idea. And I want to watch the show live. So I am recording this on a Monday night. So at this point, I haven't seen the last two Monday night games, and I really don't have a lot to recap with those anyway. I'll say this. Not as fun of a week as last week was. We'll touch on some things. The first is we'll talk on game of the week, Eagles Chiefs. We'll start there. Wasn't a bad game. Through 2 weeks, Jalen Hurts still has zero passing touchdowns though, which is an interesting stat. I didn't think the game was bad. The Chiefs desperate. Here's what happens with Mahomes and Kelce. When they get frustrated, they start pressing, and when they press, they make mistakes. And not having Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy is definitely hurting the offense for the Chiefs. And the Eagles just made like one or two more decent plays to win the game. It's as good as that. Broncos lose, so the Colts was shocking. We're going to address the Cowboys-Giants here in a minute. Mac Jones gets a win. Filling in for Purdy. Joe Burr gets hurt. I saw the meme on this. There's 100 million obese people in the world, and the Bengals can't find five of them to protect Joe Burrow. I saw another video that said this might be another Andrew Luck situation. which I kind of agree with, elite quarterback. Like, I think Joe Burrow is the second best quarterback in the league. And he's always hurt because he doesn't have any protection. And not much really to talk about on the that boring Sunday night football game. That was boring, as all boring can get. Did it? Okay, so Tyler Ajeer finally scored a touchdown for him. I mean, this game was going like field goal, field goal, field goal, field goal, field. Parker Romo should be the Patriots kicker, but we cut him so that Borgalis can miss field goals. So he hit a clutch one to help us win the game, but my point still stands. He missed two extra points to start the game. And anyway, that takes me to Patriot Corner. We'll go ahead and talk about my Patriots here. First off, I thought we did really good. Outside of kicking, I thought we did. We had a really good game. Drake May played better. He was a little bit more decisive. There's two weak spots I think the Patriots have right now, and that's penalties. I think we've in 2 weeks had 22 penalties against us, which, you know, is not good at all. And our biggest weak spot right now is the secondary position. Gonzo coming back whenever that happens will fix some of that, but safety is an issue. Safety is definitely an issue, especially when we play zone and we leave the middle of the field wide open. We need to fix that. But other than that, the offense looks really good to me. We need receivers to get open, but I think we're going to be run heavy anyway. I think we get better as the year progresses. And I really, really, really do like the Patriots. This then takes me to my deep five. Always remember, this is my top five teams of this individual week. So we'll start with number one. I think the best team in the league this week is the Detroit Lions. They put a 50 burger on the Bears, and back in dominant form, it feels like. Number two to me is the Ravens. I think could potentially be your Super Bowl matchup, Ravens versus Lions, depending on what happened. But the Ravens just put a beat down on Cleveland. It was expected. Lamar Jackson looked very good. I thought that this, you know, Derrick Henry didn't do much. But then Lamar Jackson can throw for four touchdowns, right? And so, you know, it wasn't that bad of a game. I like Detroit. I think I like Detroit. I like Baltimore. So there's one and two. Number three for me is going to be the Packers. They fall from one. They're going to fall to three this week with the victory over the Commanders, which the scoreboard makes it feel closer than I think it really was. They only won by nine. But, like, the Packers destroyed the Commanders, right? The defense is elite. The one issue if I was a Packers fan, I'd be concerned with is Jordan Love. He's not your franchise guy. He misses throws way too much. But that defense could win you a championship. I 100% believe that. So that's number three. Number four will be the Bills. I think they're a good team. I mean, they're definitely favorites for the Super Bowl for a reason. Definitely a top five worthy team. I don't think they're better than the Packers. I don't think they're better than the Ravens, and I don't think they're better than the Lions at this point. And then number five, best team of the week, and I know this is going to come as a surprise, it's going to be the New York Giants. This team came out of nowhere. I predicted them to have like four wins this year, if that. And last week against last week against Washington, they looked really good. Could have won that game. This week against Dallas, they looked really, really good. Russ was, you know, Super Bowl Russ, in this game. He bombing the ball down the field for several. I think he had over 400 yards passing. Cam Scadaboo runs like he wants CTE. That's a crazy, crazy guy back there, right? That defensive line with Sexy Dexy and Abdul Carter and Thibodeau. That's a crazy defensive line that gets a lot of pressure. I like the Giants. I really do. I don't think they're going to win the division by any stretch of the imagination, but I like the Giants. They could be, they're 0-2, but they could be 2-0 right now, right? And so I like the Giants. Probably should have won that game. Played way too conservative on that last, couple seconds in the fourth quarter that allowed the Cowboys to get into field goal range with a kicker who can kick from 70. So, I like the Giants. I really do. So, they're going to be number 5. And then we'll end the fourth and deep segment by predicting week 3 segments or matchups. So, Thursday night, we got the Dolphins at the Bills. It's going to be the Bills. It's in Buffalo. Dolphins aren't good. We then have Green Bay and Cleveland. Green Bay's winning. The Colts versus the Titans. I haven't talked a lot about the Colts. Daniel Jones is playing well. But this also shows you what competent ownership. Now, I think Kim Irsay, I think is her name. The owner's, the Jim Irsay's daughter, he died and she took over. And I'm sure you guys have seen the story where, like, she has headset on the sideline. She has, like, notepad and she's involved. And that's what you need with ownership sometimes. Sometimes it can be like Jerry Jones and you're too involved. And I wonder if that's what... I know to me as a coach or a player, I feel like she's micromanaging and it would kind of annoy me. But it's working right now, it appears. But we're going to go with the Colts here over the Titans. Bengals, Vikings, no McCarthy or Burrow in this game. So we're going to have the battle of the backups. Jake Browning, I don't know who the Vikings backup is. I'm going to go Bengals. I'm going to go Bengals here. Pittsburgh comes up to New England. I'm picking the Patriots. Realistically, this was a game I thought we would win anyway. Right now we're the underdog. Everyone else has picked the Steelers so far, but I do think New England will win this game. The Rams are coming in the Philly. I think it's going to be closer than a lot of people think, but I am going to pick the Eagles. New York versus Tampa. Going to pick Tampa. Washington at home against the Raiders. We'll pick the Commanders. The Falcons versus the Panthers. I'm picking the Falcons. By the way, for everyone wondering, I put a bet. It was a $20 bet on the Patriots and the Panthers making it to the Super Bowl. I've already cashed that bet out because I'm not losing the full amount of money because there's no way in hell the Panthers win the NFC. This team is, they're scrappy towards the end of games, but the first 3.5 quarters, they're not good. I just don't think they win as much. So, yeah, there's that. Houston versus Jacksonville. I'm picking Houston. Denver versus the Chargers. I'm going to go with the Chargers. Saints, Seahawks. We're going Seahawks. Cowboys, Bears. I'm picking Dallas. I'm not big on the Bears right now. I'm falling off on them a little bit. Arizona versus San Fran. I think Mac Jones is playing again. I could be wrong, but picking the Niners. Niner gang. Chiefs, Giants. Sunday Night Football. I'm a shot the world here with what I'm about to do. I'm picking the Giants. I'm going to pick the Giants in this game. I think they have the team that could surprise the Chiefs. I don't think the Chiefs are that good. I'm just going to be honest with you. Lions at Ravens. Monday Night Football next week might just be the best game of the year. This could be a Super Bowl matchup waiting to happen, right? We could get a rematch of this matchup in the Super Bowl. I'm picking Detroit to go into Baltimore and win. Did I pick every single one of these games? Yeah, I did. Okay. So there's week three predictions. So now we're going to go into questions from the Discord. But before I answer questions asked of me, can I take this opportunity to ask you a question? Are you looking for an easy and simple way to get your protein? Well, I may have the solution for you. Introducing Clear Whey Protein Powder. A refreshing high-protein drink that transforms your post-workout routine. Crafted with pure whey protein isolate. This innovative formula offers a light and flavorful alternative to traditional protein shakes. Zero lactose and zero sugar, it caters to those seeking a clean, transparent approach to fitness nutrition without compromising on taste or quality. Our clear whey protein stands out with its crystal clear appearance and refreshing flavors, making it the perfect companion for your active lifestyle. Whether you're hitting the gym or need protein boost during the day, this drink seamlessly integrates into your routine. Elevate your daily protein intake with confidence and clarity. Choose Clear Whey Protein Powder and experience the difference today. For a limited time, go to clearprotein.com/discount/slappingmeat and receive 20% off your order. If you're looking for a good natural choice for protein, the choice is Clear. Remember, that's Clear with a K. I just want to continue that ad for a minute. I got both flavors. First off, it took like 3 days to get here. Really fast shipping. Watermelon, strawberry is really good. Blue raspberry is really good. Here's the thing, though. So I haven't figured it out. If I haven't used my protein shake shaker in a long time. And so I haven't figured out if the smell was because it was sitting for so long, or if the protein powder itself just smells. Because the smell is awful. I'm just going to... And protein powder in and of itself, the protein shakes in and of themselves, they do stink. For scientific reasons that I'm not sure. But this odor is pretty bad, man. But the drinks themselves, the taste is really good. Both flavors are really good. So I have tried them. I do recommend them. Again, I don't know if the smell is just me and like bacteria in the cup I was using, or what was going on, but whew, it reeked just a little bit. And that's not a negative thing. I think it's just a mixture of different circumstances. The drinks are good. I definitely highly recommend them. So again, that's clearprotein.com/discount/slappingmeat for 20% off your order. clearprotein.com/discount/slappingmeat. So now the questions from the Discord. Any topic is on the line here, and we got some good ones. We'll start with the football question that I have, football questions that I have, and then we'll get into the more outside of football or wrestling related. So no wrestling questions this week, which is good, interesting. But we got football one. So B-Master asks, who is your pick to win the Super Bowl, and who is the team that you think doesn't really have a chance, but you have a good feeling about them? So first, I still think the Lions are the favorite to win. I'm going to stand on that. I think they're the best team in football. I'm going the Giants. This may be a little biased, though, when I say a team that may not have a chance, but I feel really good about them, is going to be my Patriots. I really think we could be sleepers to sneak into the playoffs and to potentially have a run towards the Super Bowl. If we get better, I thought we played really good this week. If we continue to build on that and get healthy and maybe get a safety like Jesse Bates or sign someone like Stephon Gilmore and make some moves maybe at the trade deadline, who knows what we're going to do, I think we could get better, right? Another question here. This is a good one. Did the Giants choke, or is Dallas better than we give them credit? I don't think it was that the Giants choked. I just sort of addressed this. Dallas is not good. I'm just going to start out with that. Dallas as a team, I think the offense is okay. I thought they played well on offense. The defense isn't that good. There were several times that they had Malik Nabers wide open down the field. That's unnecessary when you have someone like Trayvon Diggs in your secondary. That should never happen. Deron Bland, I think, is your safety. Should never happen. I don't think the Giants choked either. I think this was just being complacent to trying to protect the lead to where, and not recognizing what the other team had on the sideline in terms of Brandon Aubrey, who hit a 65-yard field goal to tie the game, right? And so I think it was a little bit of poor execution on the coach. I think Daboll needs to be better than that. Whoever the D coordinator is needs to be better than that to say we can't play protect defense fully when they got a guy who, as long as you cross the 50-yard line, can kick a field goal, right? So I think that's where the issue really is. So I don't think anyone choked, and I don't think Dallas is better than people give them credit for. And then finally, Kara asks, I'm pro tush push. However, something has come up that has changed my mind a little bit. Possibly might go the other direction and into banning it. It's brought up that the offense gets early jumps, neutral zone infractions, and offsides. According to officials, it's unenforceable because it's hard to tell. If this is unenforceable, should it not be banned? So first, my first response to this is, I think them saying it's unenforceable is just the biggest lie I've ever. It's the biggest crock of crap that I've ever heard. It is clearly enforceable. But here's the thing that people also don't put into mention. Was the entire offensive line for the Eagles early jumping or in the neutral zone? Sure. But the entire Chiefs defense was also in the neutral zone. You got to enforce it both ways. Now, if they started to enforce it against Philly and against the defense, but more specifically, if Philly is lining up or early jumping, and I don't think there's enough evidence to prove that is happening, right? All the above the line shots where you can't see the ball, I can't say with 100% certainty they're offsides or in the neutral zone. I don't know where the ball is. But like I also said, the defense was also in the neutral zone. But I think this is all one big agenda. From the refs, from the league, from the owners. Complain enough that this is unenforceable, so when we get to the meetings next year, the argument that the owners that are pro banning, and they only need like three more votes than what they got this year, right? The argument that's going to be used is, well, this is unenforceable. Therefore, there's no way to enforce this. We need to get rid of it. And again, I think it's all one big agenda push. I do think it gets banned. I don't think it should be banned. I think it will next year in the meetings in the off season. Next April or May, I forgot when the league meetings are. It will be banned. 100% will be banned. I personally think it should not be banned. I think this is the purest play in football. And what I mean by that is, if you go back to the roots of the game of football, it's rugby, and this is a rugby scrum. This is, everyone's like, well, this isn't a football play. No, this is the football play. This is what started the whole sport. It is the football play, right? And so I don't hate the play. I think other teams should learn how to do it or learn how to defend against it and be quiet. But also, like, this, it isn't like other people don't try to run QB sneaks. Right? Everyone's, like, always surprised. Oh, they're at the 1 yard line or it's fourth and inches. Jalen Hurts tush push. First off, everyone knows it's coming. So, like, why don't you defend it? Why don't you learn how to defend it? But then, like, secondly, like, I can't tell you how many times as a Patriot fan that Tom Brady would get to the 1 yard line and we would line up. It wasn't the same formation, but it's essentially the same play. I mean, Tom Brady in his years with the Patriots, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 22. Has 22 rushing touchdowns in his years with the Patriots. He has 28 in his career. These are, right, to put that into perspective, he has 1,100 rushing yards with 28 rushing touchdowns. Tom Brady. Right, because he would run these QB sneaks at the 1 yard line. No one complained about it back then. How the QB sneak has been in playbooks as far as I can remember. I don't get the infatuation with complaining about this play. I don't think it's stupid. I don't think it's a bad play. I think it's, the Eagles found something that they can dominate on, and that's how they win football games. And that's part of the sport, is the chess play. But learn how to defend it. But also, no one's saying you can't do the play on offense. Like, they don't have a trademark on this play. Right? So, with that being said, we're going to go into the fun questions here. We got two of them. We'll start with Kara's. If you could relive one day of your life exactly as it was, which day would you choose? And I don't really have an answer. I would love to go back to I don't really have an answer because I don't have a memory, like a favorite memory that stands out like, oh, I want to do that again. I'm going to just be honest with you. Like, there isn't a day that immediately sticks out in my mind. I mean, after some thought, maybe, like, go back to WrestleMania 33 and relive WrestleMania 33 again. But that's kind of a corny answer because I could do that right now. I don't know. I don't really have an answer for this question. But it's a good question. I don't really know if there's one I would like to relive as is. I think if the question was, would you like to go back to a particular day and change something about that day? There is one day in that instance that, and that is the day that I tore my ACL. I wouldn't go play baseball after. That was a crazy day because I was off of work that day. I get volunteered to move someone that I didn't even know. Get paid in Chick-fil-A and a $20 bill, which I guess is okay, but not worth it. I go home, take a nap. I get wakened up and was like, hey, man, you want to come play some baseball with the boys at the field? Sure, why not? And I get out there 5 minutes on the field, and my ACL disappears. And I would definitely go back and say, nah, I'm too tired for that. But, yeah, I don't really have a good answer to reliving a day as is. Last question. This is from B-Master. He said, give me your Mount Rushmore chicken and burger spot. So to verify and to clarify, I said we're talking fast food places, right? And he said yes. So essentially the question is, what is your Mount Rushmore of fast food restaurants? Excuse me. So we'll start with McDonald's. McDonald's has to be on this list. First off, because it's Mount Rushmore, you know, George Washington is on here because he's like the founder of the country, right? Well, McDonald's was essentially the founder of the industry, right? And so McDonald's has to be on here to this day. The most, I think they have, they're the most known brand in all of the world. McDonald's has to be. I still think their food is really good, regardless of what other people think. And they have to be on this list. Number two has to be Chick-fil-A, right? So Mount Rushmore has Thomas Jefferson, right, on it as well. I do believe that's who's on here. Yeah, George Thomas Jefferson, Teddy Roosevelt, and Abe Lincoln, right? So George Washington's like the originator, right? Thomas Jefferson's like his contemporary, but governed very differently. And so, this doesn't really match in the analogy, but very, very well known, right? Maybe Abe Lincoln, right? So George Washington, well known. Maybe this one is the Abe Lincoln of fast food, and we're gonna put Chick-fil-A on here, right? The best best drive-through experience. I think the food's decent. And by decent, I mean I could eat it every day. I'm not a big fan of waffle fries, but for what they are, they're good. And when they're fresh out of the fryers, they are actually pretty, and they put salt on them, they're actually pretty good. As far as, like, chicken restaurants, when you speak about, like, the national brand, like, this was, like, the originator of the chicken sandwich. I don't think the menu's too difficult. They know what they're good at, and they do that. So we'll go there. Number three. Now, three and four on my Mount Rushmore, we're going to play a little bit close to regional specialties, right? So these may not be things that everyone who listens to this has. But I'm a Southern boy, so we got to show some Southern pride. We already showed that with Chick-fil-A a little bit, right? Number three on my Mount Rushmore is going to be a restaurant, a fast food place. They're not known as Bojangles, right? Now, when it comes to fried chicken and restaurants, so you got the KFCs, Bojangles, Church's, Popeyes, right? When it comes to this style of restaurant, Bojangles is the best. 100%. I'm not a bone-in chicken guy. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm a chicken strip guy. I don't like bones in my food. But it's a lot of work to do that. Unless I'm eating chicken wings, and I'm not eating chicken wings from a fast food place. Unless it's Zaxby's. That's more, again, that's a regional down south thing. They're expanding. They just opened in Ohio and New York City. And I think they're expanding out west as well here soon. But Zaxby's has some really good wings. But that's like the only thing you get at Zaxby's, because everything else is kind of bad. I'm going to be honest with you. As someone who worked there for 5 years, they took the best sandwich off the menu. And that's disappointing. But when it comes to, like, I'm a chicken strip person. And that's what Bojangles is mostly known for. Is their chicken supremes, their chicken strips. But their bone-in chicken's really good. I'm not a fan of KFC's bone-in chicken. I can't eat Popeyes at all. Popeyes is inedible to me, edible to me. And Church's is okay. There's only like two in Charlotte, and I gotta be in a mood to eat it. And there's other places, like, but I wouldn't go to Church's over Bojangles. I'm just gonna be honest with you. Because Bojangles have, first off, they got Chairwine, which is a North Carolina specialty. If you've never had Chairwine, find a way to get some. It's not wine, it's soda. But if you haven't had Chairwine, find a way to get some. It's delicious. So Bojangles has that. And they have Pepsi products, which a lot of companies don't have anymore. But the chicken's good. I've never had a bad experience at a Bojangles in terms of food. It's a little slow sometimes, and these employees be having attitude sometimes. But that's sort of expected, right? And I kind of almost expect if you don't have attitude, the food's probably not good. But Bojangles is three on the list. They got Bo-berry biscuits. Like, you've never had a Bo-berry biscuit, you're missing out. It's a biscuit with blueberries and glazed, like, icing on it. I could eat a whole 12 pack of those. They're so good. They get breakfast all day long. It's so good, man. So good. And then number four, we're going to go real, real local because they haven't really expanded outside of North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia, and maybe a little bit further into, like, Georgia. But we're real regional with this one. And that is a restaurant known as Cookout. And we're not talking about the cookout at the park with the family reunion. This is an actual restaurant named Cookout. This thing is so good. I'm not even kidding. Now, when I say this, right, because I have so many people who have talked to who aren't from North Carolina who go to Cookout, and they're like, oh, the food wasn't necessarily all that good. And it's almost kind of, and I said, it's not really about the food, right? Any place that sells you an entree, two sides, a drink for $7, in this economy, the food's not going to be grade A quality, right? Now, the food is good. Don't get me wrong. But, like, lower your expectations. Like, you're not eating, like, gourmet food here. You got to understand what this is. And you also got to order the right things, right? You got to get the big double burger. Now, you can customize it however you want. But to me, and I've tried a lot of combinations, the best way is what they call cheddar style. Cheddar cheese, bacon, grilled onions, and that's it. Real simple. And I think there's mayonnaise on it. But real simple. You don't got to do all that extra lettuce, tomato, pickle, all that bullshit, right? Cheddar style to me is the best way to do it, right? You can customize the sides however you want. If you get the fries, make sure you ask for Cajun fries. Don't just ask for fries. Plain fries there are gross. And that's what a lot of people mess up in their order is they get the fries, but they don't ask for Cajun fries. The Cajun seasoning they put on these is a miracle worker in how they make those fries taste good. But you can get any side you want, and you can get like a corn dog as a side if that's something you want. I mean, that's not what I get. I get a big double burger, cheddar style, with a bacon wrap. It's bacon ranch. It's literally a tortilla filled with lettuce, cheese, bacon, and ranch. Real simple. And then I get a chicken ranch wrap on the side, right? And then you can pick a drink. Most people do sweet tea or cheerwine, right? Cheerwine's a local delicacy in North Carolina. Almost gotta have it, right? Come down to North Carolina. Come to Cookout with me. I'll make sure you do things right. Right? Their hot dogs, fantastic. They got slices of cheesecake. Where are you getting slices of cheesecake at? At a fast food restaurant. For $2 a slice. You ain't getting it anywhere but the Cookout. Right? And then the milkshakes. Ooh, no, don't let the name milkshake confuse you. These things are thicker than Jada Parker. These things are thick. With 3, 4, 5 C's on the end. They gonna make Booker T bust his dick. A neck. I mean, whatever he said last week. Thick, right? Don't even try to drink them with a straw. They don't even give you, they give you straws, but they give you a spoon on purpose. You eat these things. It's ice cream, and you can customize it 50 billion different ways. You want a chocolate cheesecake milkshake? You can get it. You want peanut butter banana? You can get it. My favorite, and this, I've heard a lot of people agree with me. Banana pudding. Banana pudding milkshake. Smack your mama. Smack your grandmama. To die for. But again, it's also about... you ever had this feeling where, like, food tastes different depending on the atmosphere you're eating it in? Right? If you go to cookout at 12 p.m. noon for lunch, it's good. Really good. I've done that. Done that before. But there's just something about Friday night. It's 2 in the morning. Nothing's open but the cookout and the awful waffle. And you pull up to this drive-thru. You get you a cookout tray, however you want it. And you get you a milkshake and that large cheer wine. And at 2 in the morning, there's just something. It just hits the spot. And that's what puts it. I think it's the best burger you can get that's not a McDonald's, Wendy's, or Burger King. By the way, Burger King's the worst fast food restaurant in existence. Take that back. Whataburger, the Texas one, might be the worst one I've ever experienced. Burger King's a close second. Hardee's is up there. They're all bad. They're all practically the same thing to me. Right? But again, that's McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, Bojangles, and the cookout. I could talk all day about cookout. But that's this episode. Thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Until next Tuesday, I will see you on the next episode of the Slapping Meat Community Show.
So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEWWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay. Slapping Meat Wrestling every Tuesday.